Back in Kevin's garage. Wait, that doesn't work, does it?
Are you writing a song right now?
About well, it's kind
garage.
Of a country
not
music
a good one.
You can always like put a. I mean, there's plenty of heartbreak in here.
It's so. No, it's a play on "Back in the Saddle Again." You guys have heard that.
Oh, okay,
shit.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more blues in here.
Aerosmith.
Ten toes are blue.
Yeah. I want to say, I've noticed that as opposed to last week, no one has complained at all about it's probably as cold as it was last Monday, but no one's complained or said anything at all about Ryan's heater pre-show this time.
Well, we figured it out. Yeah, there's no, like, he doesn't have to elaborately set it up this time, which is really helpful. And for whatever reason, I feel like we're getting better distribution. So I don't know if you just fully figured out the oscillating function.
It's the oscillation.
Yeah,
yes.
It's good. I like it.
I didn't figure it out. You're just noticing it.
Well, I think we're also all
science.
Wearing more clothing. I think we all prepared.
Yeah.
I'm wearing like a warm fleece.
How many
but then
layers
I,
are you on?
That's like you're from the Chris Christie collection,
are
I think.
Oh, yeah. Total Chris Christie. And then I have I'm on four. But I was going to put five. But anyway, no one cares. You can't see this. How dorky I look. I'm just fucking warm.
Well, I can report he does look pretty dorky.
Yeah. You're still shivering, though, a little bit.
I'm cold.
Well, I'll have a few more beers, and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some stuff to talk about this week, but we'll get into that in a second. So as for now, I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
Kevin here.
Hey, and I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It. So this is normally the part where we talk about current events. I like talking about current events, and we've kind of made that, blocked that
foreign
out.
Policy.
I like talking about future,
No, not those kind of, not, and neither of those things make sense in what I'm saying right now, and both of you know that.
I like talking about electrical events.
Do you want to hear what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Not
okay.
That kind of current, Mark.
You know what? I'm just going to give you the floor. Go ahead. Take it.
Where'd you have
Ryan, go.
No, I don't want the floor.
You brought up something that I thought was pretty interesting, and I think you should share.
No, I'm just kidding about all of it. I'm just excited to share this with the world, and I think that the world probably...
The world meaning our 17 listeners.
Yeah.
They're spread out across the world.
But maybe...
Hands across America, Ryan. Hands across America.
Maybe once they hear about this, you're like, oh, this is the first I heard of... This is where I heard about this from? So normally we talk about current events... For a little while in this part of the show, and I couldn't find anything. It's a slow music week. The only thing I saw a headline that said Beyonce is not pregnant.
Wow.
All right, yeah, so that's,
appreciate that.
That's
update.
I'm
as you were, America.
That was as far as I could get for something that was even remotely interesting.
I'm not pregnant either.
I wish that we should go to TMZ right now.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Ryan.
Obscure podcaster, not pregnant.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
So, but what I did want to, I thought about this a few days ago. I came across this, and this week we're doing I picked a country record, a newer country record, and I thought this was pertinent because this guy and I should have this all pulled up of who this was did a mashup of six current country songs all less than 2 years old. Some of them as recent as 4 or 5 months old, and he took six of the songs and he broke them all down in Pro Tools so you can see the wavelengths. You can see exactly how similar these songs are, and essentially they're the same song, leading to at the end of the song, like the first part of the it's like a 3 minute 30 second long clip, and he goes back and forth between the songs the whole way through it, just dropping in different songs to show like how similar they are, and then at the end of it it's the coup de grace, he plays all six songs simultaneously, and you know what? They're all the same fucking song,
and they're all like big charters. Correct?
Four of them are number one hits. But one is from Blake Shelton. That's the only dude I knew. Four of them were number one hits. One as of November was number 20 in climbing, and one as of November was number 5 in climbing. So 4 out of 6 number 1 hits is already like astronomical.
If you're the guy
numbers.
That's got like the number 20 song though, you got to be like, what do I have to do? All these other ones went to number 1. I'm hanging around here in the basement.
No, he's like pissed at his label now.
Yeah. Seriously. Get
I sound exactly like every one of these number 1 hits.
I need you to go stand near DJs and tell them what my song sounds like.
But there's no they're in number 1. I mean, you would think and this is how crazy lazy this shit is.
Crazy Lazy.
I was waiting for somebody to comment on that.
He's a poet.
Yeah.
That's the band we never started.
Crazy Lazy.
Crazy
he's
Lazy.
He's a poet and he's unaware.
Is that our Quiet Riot?
That band
cover
would be
band?
Slack as fuck.
Crazy Lazy.
Lazy.
They're like slow and acoustic, but they're Quiet Riot covers.
That's pretty good.
But
I mean, it's so goddamn lazy that they don't even have. They didn't even change keys. They didn't even bother to change. They're all in the same key.
Same key, same beats per minute, same 4/4 signature.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And it says, like, you see this shit all the time, you know, on BuzzFeed or just everywhere on the internet. It's like, mind-blowing or this will blow your – oh, this – or jaw-dropping. You see that? I literally – drop my jaw the first time
you know
I
what
watched
I,
this.
I mean, there are a couple of things I kind of thought about here. One, which I thought was interesting, is like – so apparently if you go see Saturday Night Live, in real time, basically the way that they do that show is kind of, well, they do it live, but they do it there. There's a stage that's sort of sectioned off and the sketches go from room to room. And so they like the whole stage turns and the audience can, you know, watch whatever's in front and that's what gets filmed. But it sounded like to me, it's like they got all the guys together that we're all going to do the same song, and then all the session players just went from one recording to the next recording to the next recording.
All in different studios with the same click track.
Right, exactly. Hang on, here comes the guy in the hat.
Session, yes.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought on a little bit more serious note was that
cancer.
Yes,
that's a little bit more serious.
That's like I was going to say the children. Anyway, no. The thing that I thought about that. Struck me kind of interesting was, well, yeah, of course, the headline that I saw for that whole piece that you're talking about, Shane, said, you know, here's proof that all country songs sound the same. And I think not all country songs sound the same.
Well,
I think
that's
those
hyperbole,
six do.
Yeah.
And I think that there is definitely a sweet spot. But here's where I'm going. And then I'll give the floor back. Where I'm going is, it reminds me a little bit of the blues, which is to say that, like, there is a very distinct signature. Like, everybody knows the blues when you hear the blues. And so a little bit of this is, I think, just spoon-feeding people who are already going to go out and pay a lot of money
right.
for that stuff.
And I would also say, in turn, a lot of early rock and roll, when you had really strong 4/4 beats and a 1/4/5 chord progression, you know, I mean, you could take a lot of 60s and 70s hits and mash them up similarly to this.
This is a little more obnoxious, I think. I mean, that's a good point to make about the blues. But the blues, I mean, and maybe this is just over a period of time, became a form. I mean, blues and, you know, 12-bar blues, 10-bar blues. I mean, it is a form. And there's not that much variation in what those old songs are about. At least there's some pathos, some feeling. And these songs are just about, let's put the tailgate down and dancing in the sand and drinking some beers. I mean, granted, all of these things that they're talking about are fun as balls, but wait a minute, are balls that fun?
Truck nuts.
Well, I don't know what your idea of fun is.
Fun is truck nuts.
I don't know where that came from.
Circling back to Fleetwood Mac from several weeks ago.
All of this stuff is quite fun to participate in. Except the balls, for me. but maybe
he meant like ball, like the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
No. You're on the beach. It's beach balls, dude. Didn't you see where? You idiot.
Yeah,
you
I think
that old cliche. Funny.
I mean,
beach
I do
balls.
Think you're right. Like it's kind of low hanging fruit.
Low hanging balls.
It's low-hanging fruit, but it's low-hanging fruit that's making millionaires. One of the guys that one of the groups that I can't think of their name, it's like Georgia County Line or some shit. I'm sure I'll be corrected with this.
That might be a restaurant. It's next to the Cracker Barrel.
But anyway, this one of their songs,
their corn chowder,
"Cruisin'," is now the number one. It's the longest reigning number one country song in country music history. Really? It has spent at least 22 weeks at number one on the country charts.
You remember "Achy Breaky Heart" was a giant hit. Like,
it didn't spend 20 fucking.
No, I know, but I just don't understand. Like,
I don't think he understood either. I just don't.
Mr. Science.
How else was he going to pay
No. I just don't think he understood.
How else was he going to pay for Miley's first pair of cutoff shorts?
That's true.
That's a good point, yeah. Kev.
And pole training.
Yeah.
So as of now, Ryan and I are like 1-1 at walking into bad puns, unintentional punny jokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go on. Let's move forward.
So what record are we talking about this week, Shane?
Speaking of country.
So I had to talk about that because a lot of what was said this week about that mashup was this is true about this bro country style and about country music in general. I mean, if you think back to like the late 90s, early 2000s, if you guys listen to country music at all, it was peripheral to me, this kind of country music, what the mainstream stuff. I mean, it was all Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, southern rock stuff. And then in the last like 3-5 years, all country music started being about like you know, lying on the beach and drinking beers, and now it's moved just to taking off work, skipping work, and going out and drinking, or you know, like going and driving off, and it's
having a good time.
Having a good time is the paradigm.
Yeah,
and so, which is true, that is what it is. But there are people that are slipping through the cracks, and most often and granted, again, this isn't the genre of music that I listen to very often on a radio or sit around looking for, but there are a few people that I've come in contact with in the few years, or their music in the last couple of years. One of it, Kacey Musgraves. I don't know if you guys have heard.
Like, oh,
she's
sure.
Extremely interesting, extremely hot. Also, I don't know why that matters.
It matters.
Matters to us.
Doesn't make her music better, but
yeah. Oh, it does.
She's got really awesome and like amazing lyrics, stuff that's in one of her songs. She's like, if you like a girl or like a guy, basically, I'm paraphrasing, she's like, who cares, smoke a joint, blah blah blah, you know. And this is a big deal for country music, like the most conservative form of popular music historically. I mean, for somebody to say that, I just heard a song the other day, it's called Girl Crush, and the girl singing is, she's talking about how she wants to kiss her best friend and she's in love with her best, and this is big. These are things that are moving mountains in the world of country music. But the person that I think is the most interesting that I've heard in a little while is Sturgill Simpson, and that's the record we're listening to tonight. And I incorrectly said the title of his album last week. It's Metamodern Sounds and Country Music, and it came out last year. And when I first encountered it, was in a Salon article that compared him, basically said
to Radiohead.
He's the Radiohead of country music.
That's
so of course I'm gonna delve into that.
Sure. I read that same article actually, and I probably wouldn't have looked it up had you not recommended it, but thank you.
So this is slightly but not completely off the subject, which is to say that I feel like it's appropriate to mention near the top of this episode that my dear friend Mike, who also is a former radio guy who often listens to this show, his tagline on Twitter is turtles all the way down. And it's been that way for months. And I've never asked him what it was, because I was like, now I'm the guy that doesn't get the joke. Well, finally.
You get the joke.
I get the joke.
It's track one on this record.
It is track one on this record.
Well, but we're going to talk about what it comes from in a little bit.
I'm sure.
There's a big deal in it, and it fits way into. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Ryan, you texted me at 2 a.m.
As is my wont.
Well, no. But you never texted me about the records that I pick or about the music that we picked. And you texted me and you said, this album is amazing. Weird. but amazing.
This record is amazing, also weird. Yeah, it is both of those things.
Well, what did you think about it?
Well, that would be the Cliff Notes.
Well, I got amazing, the Cliff Notes. Okay, amazing. Okay, and thanks for joining. Thanks, you guys, for listening to Somebody Likes It. We'll see you next week.
No, you know, initially, and actually I read a little bit more on it this afternoon, but initially I thought, well, this is George Jones on acid. You know, but actually Waylon Jennings is closer.
Yeah, it's a trippier Waylon.
But it's classic 70s country with kind of out there, metaphysical, not at all typical country lyrics.
I love it. It's so fun.
Well, and before I dug into this, Shane, for whatever reason, I felt like my whatever sort of musical sixth sense I had about what I thought this was going to be like, I sort of thought that we might go down a Father John Misty path here, because it seems like, you know, that was something that...
Fair enough,
And I was like, which was a great record. Like, I was like, I could totally do something like that again. But then I started rolling around in it, and I was like, oh, this isn't that at all. But it's still, you know, it's still the kind of show that you would imagine that if you saw him live, that he would have odd things to say in between songs. And I like those kind of acts.
Can I tell you real quick, he just played in Austin about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
He did a two-night stay.
Where did he play?
He played at...
maybe Mohawk or something.
No,
right?
No, no, no.
Where
nope,
was it?
Nope. ACL Moody Theater. Guess who he opened up for?
That's right.
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Nice.
There's a reason why that is so... So when I heard that, like, that's actually why I picked this record for this week. I was like, God, I gotta do this. Like, these people were... I was at a bar, and these people were like, okay, well, we're going to go and we're going to see Watson. Man, I got to go see Willie Nelson. Who's opening up for him? They're like, I was like, Sturgill Simpson? And they're like, yeah. I was like, of course. Of course, this guy that mentions in his lead single has a line that says marijuana, DMT, psilocybin, LSD, or marijuana, whatever, but
some combination thereof.
There's a bunch of hallucinogens in that line.
Yes.
So was this part of the New Year's?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. But I just thought it was really interesting and fitting and perfect, you know, him, you know, Willie Nelson, like...
Well, this record actually, like, almost made me mad a little bit, because I was like, you know, country music could have developed in this direction.
It did.
But instead it's become this formulaic, like, super surface-driven, just boring as fuck...
Well, country music, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, I'm not saying remember back, but I mean, if you ever hear country music from the late 70s, early 80s, I mean, it's like Burt Bacharach pop. I mean, there's nothing country at all in any way, and there's lots of horns and like horn arrangements and shit. But when I moved to Austin,
I want to hear more of your horn arrangements.
I don't know. You want to do what? With
somebody
horn
sat on a duck.
Let's go! All right, so...
Ethel Merman just showed up in the garage.
Truck nuts.
So weird.
If you were in Austin in the mid-90s, like, okay, Ryan, I don't know if you were... This may have been when you were in fucking Fort Wayne.
My lost weekend.
Yeah, your lost three-year weekend. Yeah. Rob Walker and I used to go every Monday night for almost 2 years to see Don Walzer at Babes. And Don Walzer, for those of you that don't live in Austin or haven't... Country yodeler. He was probably about 400 pounds. I mean,
he's a big guy.
Dude. Yeah. And he
like
had a...
Mid-70s, I think.
He was called the Pavarotti of the Plains. He had this amazing, like, soulful voice, and he would play these all this old-timey... Like old style, like really good pedal steel and country music that you want to hear, like stuff that's really interesting. That to this day, that you hear like people, oh, I don't like country music. Oh, but I like Johnny Cash and I like Patsy Cline and stuff. Like his stuff.
Hank Williams squirrely. Sr.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't as forlorn and hillbilly and mountain as Hank Williams and his. He had like a more of a Western voice, but anyway, whatever. So. We would go see him, and there was a time where Don Walzer in the mid-90s had a residency at Emo's, which was the premier punk and indie rock club in Austin God knows, for 20 years, and on like Wednesday, and you would go and see him, and there would be dudes with Liberty spikes and fucking serious mohawks and fucking going to see this old fat country guy. And so Austin was producing this incredibly interesting music that had one hand in the cosmic cowboys and had one hand in the psychedelic country that Waylon and Willie were doing in the 70s, but also had a hand in punk rock and in older country tradition. It was really interesting. I listened to country music, and I didn't deal with what was going on in the mainstream stuff at all, and none of us did.
Yeah, I missed all that.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
That was
yeah.
The,
yeah, I saw no flicker of recognition in your eyes. Anyway, so I'm going on about my lost youth here. But this album, why don't we just listen to a little bit of Turtles All the Way Down?
Okay, here it is. This is Turtles All the Way Down.
There's a gateway in our minds that leads somewhere out there, far beyond this plane. We're reptile aliens made of light. Cut you open, pull out all your pain. Tell me how you make illegal something that I'm making our brain. Some say you might go crazy. Then again, it might make you go insane. Every time we take a hit inside that old fable pit, blinded and blinded and pain caused by some old man who slides. Marijuana, LSD, psilocybin, DMT, they all change the way I see. Love's the only thing that ever saved my life.
So Turtles. Who wants to talk about Turtles?
Well, only if they're all the way down.
I like Turtles.
Yeah. Some Turtles, I run into some Turtles who are only partially down, and those aren't the ones we're talking about. We're talking about the ones
they
who
need
are
to
all
be
the
all
way,
the way down.
All the way down.
Kevin, what do you think about this?
I really like it. Now, I feel like every time that we've talked about this record, and we've talked about this record off and on in, like, it's just like, this is like Shane's making of the movie Boyhood. We'd talk about it once a year for 5 minutes. Like, but many, many times.
And now this is finally the movie.
Yeah, I'm bastardizing it.
Well, I kept forgetting about it. I kept forgetting. It's one of those things where it's not the prettiest girl at the dance, or, you know, but it. Then you dance with her, and you're like, oh, God damn, yeah, that's worth waiting around for.
That sounds like a regular country song.
from the good period of country music.
She ain't the prettiest girl at the dance, but I asked her to dance, and it was pretty good.
That sounds like the most boring synopsis of a country song.
That song was...
That's like that's the church-approved version.
That's the one you get at Walmart.
I asked her to dance, and it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Okay, pass the Cheez-Its.
So I actually found an article on Rolling Stone. Kevin, you may have this pulled up too, but this is not a typical quote from a performing country artist. He's talking about a book that inspired him called The Phenomenon of Man by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Quote, he was a Jesuit priest who was blackballed by the Vatican for embracing the fact that evolution and spirituality were symbiotic and that everything is evolving toward a divine existence in the consciousness and the universe.
is he going to say...
I'm pretty sure Blake Shelton is not pissed out.
Wait, I want...
I just thought you were going to do Bill Hicks, all of life is light condensed to a slow vibration.
Was that The Family Trip?
Yeah.
Anyhow, Shane, you were saying.
Oh, so the phrase "turtles all the way down." I'm just gonna read you what it says in Wikipedia, and there's no way to read this slowly enough for it to make sense. You have to actually read it on the page. "Turtles all the way down" is a jocular expression of I love that it's a jocular expression. This is the kind of humor that we sit around. And we said, ha, ha, ha. It's a jocular expression of the infinite regress problem in cosmology posed by the unmoved mover paradox. The metaphor and the anecdote represents a popular notion of the myth that Earth is actually flat and is supported on the back of a world turtle, which itself is propped up by a chain of larger and larger turtles. Questioning what the final turtle might be standing on, the anecdote humorously concludes that it is, quote, turtles all the way down. Or, what did Hank Williams Jr. say about Raisin McCain? Or,
oh, Christ, let's not get back into that.
God, who knows?
But I just love how but I tell you that it's both a jocular expression, and I say that it's a humorous conclusion, and I look around the room at three, well, I'm a relatively intelligent man.
Oh, thanks for the pause.
Hey. Yeah, and thank you for the qualifier.
I like how he searched for the word, and the word that he came up with was relative.
And there are crickets going off.
Well, we don't always know where you're going, Copernicus.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up Hank Williams.
All the way around the sun, motherfucker.
It's funny you bring up Hank Williams Jr. because I do want to
version of Copernicus.
I do want to tie Hank Williams Jr. to a chair and make him listen to this.
No, because we had.
That reminds. Forgive me for interrupting.
No, please.
That reminds me of something. So one of the things that I thought about earlier that you just reminded me of is like you were talking about like why doesn't all country like swing for the fences, to use the baseball metaphor?
Or even some country.
Yeah, right.
I love that you're using metaphors because it's country music we're talking about.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Why doesn't all...
Swing for the Fences is a good country song, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet it is one.
Swing
for the fences.
I'm going to look right now. But please continue, Kevin.
You guys are killing me. So, I guess my immediate thought was... If all of country was really transcendent and exploratory, then how would you know what the best stuff sounded like? And I know your answer is going to be, oh, but, you know, there would be enough of it that would be better that it wouldn't matter. And that's probably the truth.
Well, I mean, if you just draw a parallel to how rock has developed.
Sure.
You know, some of rock has gone in, you know, your Radioheads, what have you,
all
more
your
progressive directions. And some of it is super fucking boring, like, you know, just
paint by numbers shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
aiming straight for the middle. You know, your Nickelbacks,
finding it,
what have you?
Yeah,
you know. So, but there just doesn't seem to be a ton of variation in modern country music.
I guess maybe this is where I'm going. So, I think, you know, my answer is like country music. You don't have to figure it all out tomorrow. We know that there are at least six of you who are trying to write the same song and buy a new house, or many of them. But if just a few more of you would do things that were interesting, that would
be
okay.
That's all I'm asking.
That's all. Yeah. Let's baby steps in your boots.
And to be fair, when I pulled this up on Spotify,
baby shuffles.
Exactly.
It gave a list of similar artists. One of them was Ryan Bingham, who I enjoy a great deal.
Oh, sure.
Although I hear that he's a pretty unpleasant person.
Yeah.
I've met somebody who knows him.
And yeah.
He does not have a very high opinion.
There seems to be some of that going around.
Yeah. But I do enjoy his music.
People not having high opinions of other people?
People having opinions.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're in the right room for that.
Sure.
Did you find a country song called...
No, I found one called Swingin' for the Fences, and but I was going to actually read what the lyrics were, and it sort of plays right into what we're saying about, like, all right, amazing, popular, wrote country songs, which they all seem like to me, but... Until you strip away the layers and start listening to stuff like this, or like there's really good stuff out there. But this guy's like, his name is Billy Dean. It's called Swinging for the Fences. Home game, Little League, bottom of the ninth. It was up to me. The bunt sign, a man on third. Tie the game, coach. That's absurd. Laid my mind up at the plate. If I see that fastball, well, I might just have to swing away. Big deal, so what? I had to take that home run.
I wish
cut.
I would be reading this with like a Patrick Stewart accent.
This is the poetry slam version
of
country music.
You're cutting me off in the middle of my... Big deal, so what? I had to take that home run cut. My life just don't make sense if I ain't swinging for the fence.
Hey, man, that rhymes.
See, a lot about what
pull up the Brinks truck.
Homegirl, Major League. Everybody said she's too good for me. Prom night, she had a date, but I asked her to dance anyway. Then I gave her a kiss on her front porch swing. Then she thought it was funny when I said, someday I'm going to buy you a ring. Big deal, so what if it takes everything I got? My life just don't make no sense if I ain't swinging for the fence. That's some paint by fucking numbers bullshit. You think I want that off mic. I'm going to delete that off of my history as quickly
as
possible.
You don't
want
to get like a tattoo of that? Like,
yeah, because you certainly don't want any like permanent...
Also,
like on the small
that.
Of my back, like a
yeah,
like a
tram stamp.
It would just be like fences in a baseball
my life
stadium.
Don't make no sense if I ain't swinging for the fence.
My life don't make. Can you guys put that on my tombstone, by the way, please?
Oh, maybe tomorrow.
and he swang for the fence. Is that a word? Swang.
Swang.
And he swang for the fences.
That's well, gonna be my next country project.
We need to go back
swang.
And talk about it. We've just been spinning our wheels for a while.
So we're out in left field.
Yeah.
So to speak.
so one of the songs that I and we're gonna talk a little bit from this. We're gonna do this real quick. Play this song, and then we're gonna go into our intermission. But I wanted to play a little bit of the song "Just Let Go" because. It starts with, you know, Turtles All the Way Down, this album does, and then technically it ends with It Ain't All Flowers. And both of these songs are really messing with the template for country music. But then a lot that's in the middle of the album or the body of the album.
It's pretty classic.
It's classic 70s, kind of outlaw.
I think it kind of ebbs and flows. I mean, I think there's definitely some bits in there where he throws in. Some nice electric kind of
flourishes.
Yeah,
and lyrically, it's well, this is a good example. Just Let Go. This is a slower, more well, you'll hear, but
contemplative.
It's all somewhat contemplative, but I love how in this song he references both Buddhism and LSD. The starting line is, "Woke up today and decided to kill my ego." That's both a Buddhist idea and it's an LSD. It's a tenet. It's a central tenet of modern psychedelic thought is ego dissolution. So, and we've already established in the first song, Turtles All the Way Down, that he's very interested in. I don't know that he does these drugs. In fact, from what I've read, he's sober.
He seems like a pretty centered guy. From the little bits that I've read.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to a little bit to Just Let Go.
All right, here it goes.
Taking a 49 divine-day vacation from reality and all else in between. Gonna transmigrate to my destination far beyond time in a need. Turn on dream. Am I dreaming? Am I dying? Either way, I don't mind at all. But it feels so good. Just can't help but cry. Oh, you have to let go. So may fall.
Who's the audience for this? Who does this appeal to? I mean, obviously, there's
us.
People here,
Austin, Texas.
There's people here that love this, but I mean,
well, and I did think about this.
This is a new kind of country.
Well, and this is not on like a major country label.
No, he put it on himself.
Can you imagine like what a headache it would be for like your RCA or somebody on Music Row to
market this? He's talking about things about that have this Buddhist slant to them and. And I mean, it doesn't seem to me that this appeals to the normal person that likes to just sit around and listen to country music.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people, even more, like, if you think about the way that the world is working right now, I mean, more older people than ever are you know, or rich older people, or, you know, people are changing their consciousness. Like, more people are smoking weed, like older people are smoking weed than ever before. Like, things are changing. Like, the people that I don't think like
you're,
you know,
blowing my mind, man.
Shut up. Okay, I'll back away from that. It's a longer conversation, but I you know, the same people that drove AAA radio in the 90s and in the early 2000s.
I do think there's a market for it. It's just not the traditional country market.
Sure. No, it's us.
I don't think that there isn't a market for it. It's just, I mean, this isn't the left-wing country of Willie Nelson.
Well, it's
even different from that.
Let me put it this way. Like, I mean, there is – I mean, the music is beautiful. But, I mean, think about it like this. Like, where is the market for Robert Plant's Alison Krauss records? I mean, it's definitely not with, you know, Led Zeppelin fans, stoner burnout Led Zeppelin – or Led Zeppelin fans in general. It's a whole new audience, and that same audience, I think, is analogous to this.
I'm with you on that.
You know, I mean, I get what you're saying completely. That's why it gets really interesting with the way that music is being marketed and sold these days, is because I was talking about this during the break. This album reached number 11 on the country charts. On the Billboard country charts, this album hit number 11. Cost them $4,600 to make.
Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
Independently released, and he's been on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. His debut
he's done
was
Letterman.
On Letterman. Mm-hmm. He's all over the place. I think that it's one of those things where I think of it less as a country rec. Like, I stopped thinking about Dwight Yoakam as a – even though it's country music, but I stopped thinking about him as a country artist along – he's one of my favorite
musicians.
Well, and
he just doesn't fit into any of those – regular round holes.
And he sold millions and millions and millions and millions of records by not fitting into that mainstream country. Even though he sold a lot of them to mainstream country.
Well, here in town, there's plenty of money to be made by not doing what everybody else is doing.
Here in town, if you go to like a Mike and the Moon Pie show, you're going to see some people wearing Pearl Snap shirts, but you're going to see a lot of tattoos and...
Right, it's the same thing I was saying about Don Walser in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, you would see the same. You know, I remember, like, country music is a really weird thing because we write people off, and I mean, when I say we, I mean, like...
Yourself.
Well, I definitely mean myself, but I'm putting myself into a collective, and so I think that anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I write them off a lot of times, having grown up in that environment, in a small town Texas environment, where I found country music a lot of times to be the lowest common denominator. It's sort of like was the what am I looking for here? The Hanna-Barbera cartoons of animation, or the what's the Full House.
Oh,
sitcoms.
Yeah, like, oh,
just lowest common denominator.
Yeah, like that.
Like this
Friday nights on ABC back in the day.
Let's just spread it out.
It was the laugh track of.
Yeah, well, that's what that. Yeah, right.
Shane, you remember when I worked at that? It was a nice steakhouse, but it was country themed, and so all the music they played was like modern country music.
Why do all country songs have to have puns?
And it's just fucking stupid, most of it. Oh yeah, like. What was the one, like, you used to experiment with writing country songs.
I did.
If I can just get over in this lane, I can get over you.
Yeah, that was one of them. I can't believe you remember that.
I forgot about that one.
But then
that's great. That's what I'd like to hear.
But there's a lot of, yeah, it's all pun. And granted, I mean, it's an industry based on clever tongue-in-cheek
stuff. They figured out what sells.
Well, you write, remember we were talking about this when we were talking about, Meatloaf, I blocked his name out of my head when we were talking about Bat Out of Hell, because all of those titles were just as like punny and like ta-da, and you know, and the guy his lawyer was,
Ethel Merman's back,
yeah, the guy and his lawyer would say like, well, he wrote these brilliant titles and then he had to write the songs that fit them. I'm like, they're not brilliant. They're grating and they are eye-catching. That's all. That's all
just,
it is.
In that case, they were just indicative of everybody's background in theater. Like, it was just that all that kind of stage garbage.
Can I just say this? Like, the minute that I mentioned Meatloaf, Kevin just unconsciously started shaking his head, well, closing his eyes.
And you know, here's the thing: it's like earlier you were like
traumatized.
You're like, I've got to get this. I have to get this baseball pun related country music off my screen as fast as I can. And all I can think is, I bought those Meatloaf songs so we could chop them up
you can thank
and put
Mark
them in the podcast. Because now the algorithm thinks, oh, that guy likes Meatloaf.
No, he's all in Meatloaf.
I was like, so if somebody hears me smashing my head against the ground later, that would be why. Anyway,
let's go to the intervention. Yeah, that's fine.
Intervention? All
right. Intervention?
Intervention.
Yes. Let's have an intervention in the intermission.
Pointing is back. Thank you for that, Kevin.
We missed that.
Sure. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's like when you guys aren't here, I point at shit all the time. I'm just like a pointing machine.
Do you do it as emphatically as you do when we're all
actually
here?
The sad
like
thing
when your
is,
daughter is like misbehaving, do you just point at her and she like turns around sheepishly and walks
like
off?
Like at dinner time, he goes, eat.
So sometimes I do. But here's the thing. It's like I actually think, and this is the writing on the wall. My 4-year-old has picked up the pointing, and she doesn't know when you should point and when you should not
point. Oh, she has?
Oh, yeah. And so we'll be out somewhere, and she'll be like, hey, Dad, look at this. And inevitably, it's something that we all have noticed, but we are not pointing
at.
It's
like a person with a deformity or something.
Or not that, but, you know, like somebody with a...
Why is his face brown?
French fry in his nose or whatever. So, like, I don't know why we went to deformities and racism, you guys, but that's not... Not what my kid's doing.
French
fries. Hey, why don't we talk about what we're here to talk about?
Yeah. So, Ryan, this is yours, right?
I picked a song that. Well, I don't want to bring the room down, but the last time I worked in music, I got to the point where I just didn't want to listen to it anymore. And after some period of being away from that industry, this was the first song I got really excited about. And I texted Shane at like 3 a.m. as I do, but it's Spinoza by Generationals, which is a duo from New Orleans. But
yeah, and we just as the four of us watched a video, and I gotta say, like, one thing that I didn't necessarily expect from this song was just like what a good workout that it would be.
Yeah, I got winded watching the video.
Yeah.
So when I listened to the song first and I enjoyed it, but not as much as when I watched the video. And for those listening at home, the video shows the band members
running around New Orleans,
the streets of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And
playing guitar solos in the back of a pickup truck.
Playing guitar solos in the back of a pickup truck. And
that's all it is, yeah, by the way. It's one dude running.
Yeah. The other one playing guitar in the back of a truck.
And singing at the same time.
Yeah, really bad lip syncing to the song.
So that's what I was trying to figure out. Is he lip syncing? When I was watching the video earlier, I was like, is he lip syncing? It looks like it's animated, or is he so out of breath?
Seems to me that they had the music playing while he was running, and he couldn't help but like kind of sing along a little bit, but not really try.
No, I think he's trying to sing along. I just think he's so fucking out of breath that he can't match up.
It's kind of the opposite of every OK Go video, like where those things are like crazy,
elaborate,
and super overproduced and choreographed. This is just like one guy running through the streets and another dude sitting in a flatbed.
And a GoPro. And they put the GoPro on a stick.
It's great.
In the back of a pickup.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing about OK Go since you brought it up?
Yeah.
I heard an OK Go song recently that I liked a lot. And when I found out that it was OK Go, I was like, oh, fuck. I don't want to like a song by that shitty band that does those fucking videos.
They're okay.
Go. Go on.
Oh,
go on.
Okay. Oh, we're back to the puns. Yeah. It's just, God, I don't need to watch a cutesy video that you're going to forward over to your aunt when you get to work. Oh, this is so cute. Like, I don't need hear music that these guys create, but
how will it go viral?
It's true.
Yeah.
You know how it could go viral? This song was actually really good.
I thought you were going to say.
Like, imagine back in the...
Spend time in your garage where it's 25 degrees.
Because we're to the moon, Alice!
That's right. Anyway, no, you're right, though.
Violence, Alice.
Yeah. And
I don't want to listen to that goddamn band because their videos are so intricate and cute. Like, do you want to be a... I'm getting annoyed right now.
I think it's easy to go down the deep end of hating on the elaborate production of that.
I don't hate
other
on
band.
It. It's just annoying.
But this thing... This song,
is the opposite of
this. Yeah, this is the opposite.
And what I was going to say is like
dude's
I think
just
that
running down the road.
I think Ryan and I have intersecting taste in a lot of areas. But the things that Ryan loves the most, I don't always connect with the exact. I mean, how could I connect with them exactly as much as you did? But this song, I get that. Like, I totally get that. So
no, it makes me happy.
Yeah,
it's a really good song.
Yeah, and
comes on
and
the radio,
like,
I turn it up.
And I have been, missing me some New Orleans lately. So it was the timing was good. Thank you.
Well, I was just in New Orleans, and so it was refreshing to see a lot of familiar sights.
Yes.
Well, why don't we play a clip for the folks?
Okay, this is a clip from Spinoza. We haven't talked about this, but I'm just going to suggest that maybe for the rest of the time that we're talking about this song, that we all go running down the street as fast as we can.
I'm going to go ahead and not do that.
Oh,
yeah, that's a bad idea.
Oh, shit.
But I'll film you while you do it.
wait, can I just say this?
Put flailing white man in my trunk and you can play guitar solo.
In your trunk,
yeah.
And I'll just crawl. I'll punch the seats out. Like, let me out. Can't breathe.
I think that's a kidnapping. That doesn't sound like a video. All right.
Wait. But Kevin was very.
It's a video treatment. Come on.
Before we went back in out of the break into this, Kevin was like, "Just wait. Don't say anything. Just wait. I've got to say this. Okay. And so now we know that he wants Ryan to put me in his trunk and. For me to die.
Wait, how did I? No, I never said
he
that.
He wasn't the architect. That was all me.
Yeah,
I feel like it's one.
Kevin just wants us to go run around.
I think it's point A to point B to point C.
He knew exactly what you would say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Spinoza.
The song by Generationals.
Yeah.
So what specifically appealed to me and why I sent you the clip.
Dude, I really want an early... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I really want
such
an
a dick,
early...
Dude. Why are you such a dick?
Because I'm an asshole. I really want to have an early 80s hip-hop DJ that spins records. I want his name. You see where I'm going here.
No.
Spinoza. We're doing puns tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Wasn't that the guy from Fast Times?
Okay, sorry, Ryan.
The puns seem to be coming from this side of the table, and we don't have kids, but this is full-on dad humor.
Yeah, why are we the pun guys tonight?
I don't know.
It is shirts versus skins home. It's people with kids versus
people without kids.
And the people don't
without
skins.
The kids
without
are
kids
making
or,
all the dad
all
jokes.
The puns tonight. Yeah,
it's just wrong.
Why? Anyway, so how did you – one thing that I've never asked you about this song is like how you came into contact with it.
Austin now has three – alternative radio stations. I'm uncomfortable with that word.
Voice go up there.
Ryan was doing the finger quotes.
Yeah.
Hey, alternative.
I don't think he did the Jay Leno.
There's the
Maltternative.
Yes. Anyway, one of said stations, which is actually a Clear Channel station, has a really good playlist, and they happened to play this. And I was, I almost feel bad for liking a Clear Channel station because they're kind of the
song?
Devil. But what song?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, later. We'll talk about that later. We're talking about this now. Anyhow, I happened to hear it, so I like went in and got on my laptop and looked up their playlist, found the name of it, like found the video online, had many drinks, sent Shane a text message. But specifically what appealed to me and what I thought might appeal to Shane is it kind of reminds me a little bit of early Smiths. Now, not the lyrical content or his vocals, but like kind of the taut strumming.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly.
It more sounds to me like some of the early 2000s, like the Stills and a lot of early 2000s.
I'm sorry. All I can think of is a morose Morrissey running down the streets of New Orleans.
Yeah, right? With like flowers in his
hands
ass.
Flapping.
Like,
yeah.
It's in like clown shoes.
Like a spray of flowers in his back pocket.
Morrissey doesn't run fast. Like, he would walk slowly and deliberately down the streets.
Forlornly.
Not forlornly, necessarily.
It would have just been him moseying through the cemeteries in New Orleans.
On his way to cancel the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough, my friend.
Anyway.
He just released a UK tour schedule today. It's his first full UK
tour.
It's
like one date. Maybe. Like,
I want to see how many UK dates he's actually going to make.
Yeah. Anyway.
The dude doesn't do drugs. It's not like he has the rock and roll flu. He genuinely has a
he just can't get it together sometimes.
He's very, very
sensitive.
Sickly.
Is it sickly?
Yeah, it's sensitive.
Well, I didn't think generational Spinoza was sickly.
No, doesn't come across that
he
way.
Ran a lot.
And a fun one. Like, although I have to say this, you know, we've been doing some of the, and I've obviously been away for a little while, but this a few minutes with, it's a little different than Peaches.
A little bit different than Peaches. Yeah.
You were back here when we did that. Yeah,
I was there.
It's okay because I didn't pick this week. Ryan picked something good.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's another doozy coming up. We ought to get back to Good Mr. Simpson. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Coming up. Here's a little bit more. Let's talk about Sturgill.
So I'm just going to read a little bit off of Wikipedia. Sturgeon is the common name for some 25 species of fish in the family Asimpyrisidae.
Sturgill.
The term includes over 20 species commonly referred to as sturgeon and several closely related species that have distinct common names, notably Sterlet, Kaluga, and Beluga. That's where they get caviar from, Ryan.
That's good to know, Shane. Thank you for that illuminating snippet.
Well, Kevin said we should talk about sturgeon.
Steve Zissou, let's take a break and
we just get back
to the item at hand.
Sturgill boy, is my face
Simpson.
Red.
Sturgill.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It seemed a bit fishy, you talking about.
Yeah.
There's the other side of the...
Who brought the corn?
Oh, my... There's two of them!
All right. They're making up for lost time.
There's the dad squad on the other side. Like
fighting crime, but only from lawn chairs.
It's like American Ninja, almost. It's like American Ninja pun style.
It's like that, and yet also a little different.
So Sturgill Simpson, who we've been talking about, we like his record. He put out or recorded a version of.
Are you saying he doesn't put out?
I don't know if he does. He's married.
He did just say that he put
God.
Out.
I think he's... You guys are like...
This is like the most free-range show we've ever done. You guys are like... It's like short attention span theater in here. It's like if a puppy walked through, we might not finish.
I like that dog.
Is that dog eating your pencil?
Yeah.
Apparently... He does not have kids. He's married and lives with his wife and dog. So I like that about him.
Oh, he is a dog.
Can I?
Why?
Can I share a little something? So
Yes, you should.
I haven't gone through much of you content, and part of the reason for that is that a lot of them tend to say the same thing about this record, which I think is sort of interesting. I haven't decided what I think about that one way or the other, but there seem to be a lot of unifying opinions about maybe that's enough of a referendum on the fact that there's not much country out there that really takes chances the way that this record does.
I think that's a good way to put it. I'd agree with that.
But Pitchfork, the guy that wrote this review for Pitchfork, had something interesting to say specifically about, and I had totally forgotten about The Promise.
Oh, it showed up in the middle of this record, and I was like, oh yeah,
yeah. Well, I was in a strip mall parking lot, and I was like, this sounds forlorn, but why do I know the words? Like, I just don't understand.
No,
why I
got
the
probably
words.
45 seconds into it before I realized I knew this song.
Yeah. And the fact that is, now that I can never hear this song, even this version, without Ryan in the background
Promise.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, here's a little bit on A Promise. So, paraphrasing, says, the best moment here may be the most unlikely. A cover of the 1988 post-New Wave hit, The Promise by When in Rome. Simpson slows it down to a crawl, yet this isn't one of those reinterpretations that purports to find deeper meaning through a more tasteful mad world reimagining. The melody's tricky, especially divorced from that familiar piano line, but Simpson delivers it with general stalwartness, testifying powerfully to the magnitude of love. The mellotron string section swoops in to add some earthy drama to an emotion that might just explain the entire universe. The entire
That's
universe.
Ambitious.
Yeah.
Not to sound too much like a cliche writer or something, but he really kind of made this his own, I think.
Well,
Sure. Without a doubt.
The lyrics of this song lend themselves to it being a country song. I just had occurred to me.
Oh, this is my note on this. I have two things to say, but one is that
Kevin's bobbing and weaving.
I know.
Yeah, I just
gotta stay warm.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's something that people, small kids, do. Like it really is.
Oh,
like,
you spend that much time around kids.
No, you just have to keep. If you have a little, you hold little kids all the time. You find that you move when you don't think you're moving because it keeps them quiet.
And when you're not holding them, you move.
Yeah.
Are you trying to keep me quiet?
Like when I used to.
I mean, granted, you're not holding me.
When I played Little League and I used to like throw imaginary balls when I didn't have.
Neither of those things are happening.
Anyway, shame to say.
Okay, so the thing that I like about this is the way that he does it. And the guy was singing the song. And let me say this: like, critics are just in love with this record, and they have, like, for example, that Salon article, a lot of critics, and this guy says similar sort of hyperbole, in that, and bear with me when I say hyperbole might not be the right word. They just haven't heard.
Go ahead.
I didn't say the right pronunciation.
Oh, gotcha.
Fuck. a lot of times critics will see this stuff and they will respond or bond onto one thing and write about that and see this and not see the bigger picture. And you see that with the way that this guy is saying this about The Promise, like it doesn't reinterpret it, or it's this way, or it's not trying to reinterpret it in the way of Mad World, or in the guy that's saying that it's not Radiohead, it's not this, it's not that. But what he does do is he does reinterpret it, and he takes the song The Promise, and he takes it from, and it is a complicated, tricky melody. But what it sounds like to me, and to make it a little more mundane, is it sounds to me as though he's singing it through the eyes of an apologetic alcoholic, instead of this like triumphant like friendship or relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, blah blah blah. He's like, I fucked up. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
In other words, that is a
reinterpretation.
Like the original was kind of this. This very happy tune, and
it's not necessarily happy. Melancholic, but it's like a declaration
content.
Of love.
The
and
lyrical
this
content
isn't a
is melancholic, but the song itself is upbeat in the original version.
More like an apology, like you're
It seems like to me, it's like an alcoholic man that keeps fucking up over and over again. He's like, I'm sorry, but I will do this. This time I'll do this. And it is a reinterpretation.
And should I like how he doesn't, like I said, he makes it his own. He doesn't really try and emulate the vocal melody note for note. But there's this one point toward the end of the song where he goes up into that higher register. And he really, it's just kind of almost a guttural kind of scream.
He does the little guttural. Let's listen to this, and we'll go back and talk about his little guttural stuff.
All right, here it is. Guttural. This is the premise.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say. I know they don't sound the way you planned them to be. If you wait around, I'll make you fall for me. I promise. I promise you I will. Your day's through, and so is your temper. You know what to do. I'm gonna always be there.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I try to hold the sneeze.
That was some good audio right there.
We'll come and push us in a little too quickly.
All I was going to say is that gentleman definitely made that song his own.
What I love about that is he did.
There was that whole spate of like kind of jokey country covers of hip hop songs or whatever, and this is not that.
No, it's kind of the opposite.
I just kind of hope that the. That good Mr. Simpson and the original artist spent some time together with awkward silence
like
in the
when
same
in Rome.
Room. Yeah.
Like, yeah. What were you saying? Like it out. Was like when in Rome.
Mr. Wynn and Mr. Rome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Wynn and Rome. It's a Vietnamese guy and somebody named
Wynn
Rome.
And Rome.
It's like a bad,
man, that sounds
it's
like
a terrible
the best
cop show.
Idea for a new sitcom on CBS. Yeah. He's yes, like the time. Guy that just knocks on the door. You're too loud. Turn the music down.
Perhaps we should fight crime. I don't know why he's talking.
Win and Rome.
Yeah. Win and Rome.
Anyway. Pleasantly surprised is the right phrase to use. I was certainly surprised. And I like
the pleasant.
And it's pleasant. But I was like,
I completely forgot that this was on this record.
Yeah.
So I'm driving down Mopac coming home from work. And Mopac is a freeway here in Austin for those who don't live
main thoroughfare.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot about this. Shane mentioned this. And like,
because you had us do the promise a few months ago for your a few minutes.
Well, and I
with.
Think it's because you brought it up that he had covered this.
Oh, I know it was. Don't get me wrong. I know my place in the world.
Promise.
Anyway, just because it does give you an idea of his range a little bit, and certainly like to take a song that is like kind of firmly in the John Hughes era 80s and turn it into this is unexpected.
It's true. What was the last song that we were going to talk about? It was the last song on the record, right?
Okay, yeah. So it's It Ain't All Flowers. And I think that this song... we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. So the first time I heard about Sturgill Simpson was that Salon piece, comparing him to... or saying he was the Radiohead of
country
music. Well,
this is where you can certainly see the influence.
Oh, yeah. So much. This song is... It's also... I have to say, like... The album is 10 songs, 34 minutes long, and actually one of those songs is like a bonus track. So it's really like nine songs 30 minutes long.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I was saying this on the air or anything, but this is the first album that we've listened, and it wasn't because it was so short and so concise. It was because the songs are so fucking solid that when the album ended, I immediately replayed it and listened to the whole thing through. Like, I so much enjoyed listening to this, and I'm glad. And this is the first record that I deliberately stopped myself from listening to, so we could talk about it on the air. So I'm glad I did
that.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
And we did. I did.
So this song, It Ain't All Flowers, there's a lot of things. Oh, and one of the things, too, if you go back and you look at Wikipedia, there's a lot of like, he has a lot of comparisons, Waylon Jennings comparisons, like his voice does. And he does sound like Waylon Jennings. And I love what Shooter Jennings, Waylon Jennings' son, says.
Oh, yeah, he's... like,
he's a
fawning
big fan
in his praise.
Yeah, and he's basically saying, like, you know, the guy, well, here's the quote. Excuse me. Shooter says, Sturgill isn't, by the way, don't you love that Waylon Jennings'
son Shooter?
and Shooter Jennings is a great outlaw country musician. I think he's brilliant.
I don't really know his stuff. I just know.
Yeah,
the name.
Maybe one of these days he'd be a guy to talk about. I love the fact that he wears sunglasses like Hank Williams Jr., but his song has a lot more integrity than that fucking loser. Okay, so Shooter Jennings says Sturgill isn't imitating at all, and he sounds like my favorite era of my dad, the 70s, when he would sing quieter and more conversational. That's what struck me about Sturgill from day one, and still does. And he's right, and he is conversational. He doesn't have that talking thing. Occasionally he does, but he does. He has got that low. He sounds very much like Waylon Jennings, and it's beautiful. So anyway, whatever. It Ain't All Flowers. There's a song that Waylon Jennings had that I don't remember the title of, but it also talks of similar.
Was it Just Good Old Boys?
Never Mean No Harm.
Yeah.
Beat all you ever saw.
Been in trouble with the law
since the day they was born.
Good God.
Making their way.
The only way they know how.
You know, true story about Waylon Jennings. When I was living out in West Texas, he was from Littlefield, Texas, which is outside of Lubbock in the Texas Panhandle. And he, for a short time, did a 4th of July concert every year, kind of like Willie did. He did his own thing in West Texas. And then one year, he got in a fight with his mom, and he quit doing it.
Wait, he got in a fight with his own mother?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what the argument was about.
And she was like, you have to do the concert? And he's like, I'll show you,
Mom. No, I don't even know what the substance was, the substance of the argument. But yeah, that was the scuttlebutt, was that somehow he and his mother were at odds. And so this, I was like,
I was like, the
outlaw country guy, you know, his mom shut him down.
She probably wanted him to do the Warshin.
Do the Warshin?
It could be. Could be.
Wasn't he in Buddy Holly's band and was supposed to be on the plane?
He was supposed to be on that plane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was...
He was a cricket.
Yeah, it was like...
Crickets are annoying.
I think it was maybe Richie Valens or somebody had a cold and switched seat and, like, took his seat because he was,
yeah,
like,
he
kind of
just wanted
to get
to the
next
bus
place
or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, it's crazy. Anyway.
So, this song's...
It ain't all flowers, dudes.
It ain't all flowers. All right. Yeah, see, it's all degenerating at this point. So this is one, again, that I was talking about, like Turtles All the Way Down. And with these songs bookend this album. And It Ain't All Flowers, apparently, it evokes, this is what the online says, he evokes a similar sentiment as Waylon Jennings in his 1987 hit Rose in Paradise. It ain't all flowers. Sometimes you got to feel the thorns. And that's in Sturgill's song. But anyway, but then he gets into this, like, well, you know what, Kevin?
Yeah.
Why don't we listen? This is going to be kind of complicated because there's so many. In the beginning, it's this weird, like, almost like 70s funk thing that's going on.
Well, why don't you pick out, you know, a good 30, 45-second clip of where you think it's most evocative.
But then it gets really weird in the middle where it descends
it
and it gets chromatic
it's
in the
very,
middle of the song.
Yeah,
it's like
it meanders
Floyd
a little. It's
Radiohead thing.
But at the very least, we'll give it a whirl and then let's talk about it.
Okay.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Sturgill Simpson and It Ain't All Flowers. And I was going to say Tougher Than Leather because we were talking about what we were going to do next week. And that would have been a funny thing to have.
You know, I would not put it past him to, you know, do a country version of Mary Mary. But
I've got to say, like, that song, before I'd listened to it a couple of times and then re-listening to it right now, like, that's why the guy said Radiohead. There's that, well, that descending song's minor stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's clearly a fan. I mean, and it's in some of the articles about him that he is a fan. He also really likes Tool, which doesn't really do anything for me, but whatever.
It's decent music. I mean,
it's fine.
Tool, also a big fan of Bill Hicks. So maybe that's maybe that's the deal.
Didn't Radiohead have some, they dedicated the Benz to Bill Hicks? So, and this is the Radiohead of country music.
It's all coming around.
It all comes in full circle. I wish I were Alex Jones. I should be.
Hey, man. It's a false flag.
I just have to start talking about this.
So this Scatman Carruthers.
This last song, Louis Armstrong, was definitely a surprise for me. I mean, this kind
of
took me.
Well, and most of this record sounds like traditional classic country music, except for this and, I guess, the first song.
Well, yeah. But lyrically, it doesn't. Lyrically.
No, the record doesn't lyrically. But I mean, as far as like the instrumentation, like it could easily be from 1975.
Yeah.
But this song,
which is already weird country music. I mean, they're already fucking smoking a lot of weed at that fucking point. That's good. It's good. It's good. Good writing.
Well, kids, we should probably get out of here before it is cold.
Yeah, it was a solid record. Shane, thanks for choosing it. I really enjoyed it this week. This was fun.
Ryan?
This is one of the ones that I will continue to listen to of my own volition, so yeah. Thank you for that. Yes, you alluded to my pick for next week, which is going to be Run DMC, Tougher Than Leather.
Mary, Mary.
Well, I won't get into it. I have things to say about that song. I love that song, but I have things to say about it. I just like the fact that they're promoting hugging. In a rap song.
You sound like you should be the administrator of a private school.
Yeah.
They're promoting hugging. They're not promoting bumping of the uglies.
No, it's hugging.
Hugging. Kevin?
Anyhow.
Do you know what your song is next week?
I don't know right off the top of my head, but I'll turn it over and we'll come up with something fun.
Well, one of the things we like doing these days is watching a few minutes with all together. So
it's a bonding moment.
Yeah. I kind of like not knowing till the last second. Anyway, so, okay, we're out of here. I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.
Bye, y'all.